Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program number 340. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive either an audio tape or a CD at the end of the program. Please specify which one you want. They're absolutely free, including the postage and handling. We have a strong message today, some Bible reading, and some depths into the Word of God that I don't believe many of you know. It's good to be united completely and deeply, deeply upon deeply into the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you know the Word and the golden nuggets of the Word of God, the more deeply you'll be able to be in the Spirit of God, in the deep walk with Him. And that way you're more assured of being able to be in the kingdom of heaven. We have testimonials as well. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise Your wonderful holy name because You have shown us the things of the Spirit, the things that we need to know in order to make it in to Your glorious kingdom. Open the hearts, the minds, the souls, the spirits of everyone. So that the church will be stronger and that souls will be saved today. And Lord, utterly destroy the works of the devil. Utterly rebuke him, Father. Destroy the works of Satan for everyone that's suffering in this world. Let them receive you and be born again of the Spirit and to be full of zeal to do your will and not their will at all. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, here I am to sing, Let Him Be. And that's Let Jesus Be All You Need. Lord, be all you need for today, for tomorrow, and every day thereafter. If you do that, if you stay close to the Lord, that's all you'll need in this world. Amen. We don't need anything other than Jesus. He provides everything for us. Now, we have some testimonials today. Where's the first one from?
From Zambia, Central Africa.
Okay.
Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the one who leads us in this tunnel of darkness. Firstly, I would like to congratulate you for your powerful message you bring on the program on Radio East Africa. I want to thank you for that powerful message you bring every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. Please do continue this program because you bring people to everlasting life and you brought me to everlasting life. We have a small ministry here in Zambia, in Chilenga, called the Blessed Hope Ministry. Please try to assist us with Bibles because we are about 44 in number. Yours in Christ, Walaya from Lapula Region, Zambia, Central Africa.
Okay, well, make sure they receive the Bibles. I'm sure they've already sent them to them. So where else do you have one from here? We have thousands of testimonials, and we need yours as well. But we're only able to do two or three per program, sometimes none, sometimes one, because of the message. Okay, go ahead.
The next one's from Kathmandu, Nepal. Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings from Nepal. I am Cal Pet from Nepal. I read your website from the internet when I was researching Christian radio stations and ministries. I saw your website there and I studied your site. I liked it very much. I am so very happy to know and read that you are preaching in different languages. So I am also willing to give my service for your ministry. I can translate in Nepali language if you need Nepali translations.
Well, we do. I certainly appreciate it. Make sure that somebody calls him and tells him to do it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just really am happy every time somebody translates my literature that the Lord has given me as his literature into other languages. We have quite a few of them, but there's hundreds of languages, I understand. And so let's do it, okay, right away before the Lord comes back. Okay, then what?
So please contact me, and I'm willing to serve my life for the people who are needy. Best regards, Cal Pitt from Kathmandu, Nepal.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, even by the end of the first century, the church, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, has become degraded. This is what happened to Jesus. Even to this day, after he's been gone for 2,000 years in the kingdom of heaven, he's still present in this world, living in people like myself and every other born-again of the Spirit Christian. And so we're like the continuation of the Lord's incarnation in this world, and we're being degraded every day. There are people that don't know us at all. Most of the people don't know us at all. And anyone that does know us knows that they're lying if they're saying anything that's degrading to us. And anyone that would know the Lord would know that anything they're saying about him, like he's being, that he was being married to some female like Mary Magdalene, or that he had other children, or that they found his bones, this is a degradation, because there are no bones in the tomb of Jesus. Jesus was not buried in a coffin. He was buried in a tomb. And he rose from the dead and went out of the tomb, and his body was transformed to an ecclesiastic body, and he ascended into the kingdom of heaven with over 500 witnesses. And so if they say they found his bones, you know that whoever's saying that to you is a liar. They're just satanic beings on this earth, and there's lots of them. So the Lord tells you, take heed how you hear. You have to pay attention to what's being said to you, because if you don't, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble, because, you know, the soul is like a bank. When your soul or your spiritual man is listening to something, it gets stored in your soul. When your eyes are take in things that you see, that's why the prophet Job said he made a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't look upon a maiden. He wouldn't lust after females at all, especially in this last day, where there, you know, so many women have AIDS that most men that have any sense, they will not go to bed with unless they are married. And they, you know, I would suggest to all men that you would have your bride-to-be have blood tests, make sure that they don't have AIDS. And if they are not willing to do that, I wouldn't marry if I were you. And there's so many men that are afraid to go to bed with these unsaved women out on the streets that they're opening up male whorehouses. The women are going flocking to male whorehouses because men are not willing to have sexual relationships with unsaved women. I just received a call today from a woman that said she knew of some properties in Las Vegas that I might be interested in. She stated that there is a woman out there that they call the Black Black Widow. She was put in prison for having a female whorehouse, and she had a black book, they called it. I saw it on the news many years ago, where they had names of judges, attorneys, movie stars, and a lot of big shots. And the court, the judge, stated that she had to turn that book over, but she never did. And if she did, she would not be able to operate today as she has. And she realized that the female whorehouses are not receiving so much business anymore. And so she therefore is opening up a male whorehouse where women come to have sex in these male whorehouses. And, you know, they have to have more guts than Tyson Food Company does, or OK Poultry Company out of the Arkansas area, where we also have churches out there. But that just goes to show that there's a big scare on. They say about one out of every three people have AIDS. And so when you're looking at three women going down the street, or three men, one out of the three, according to statistics, has AIDS. And so you're living in the last days, and so the Lord is making it that way so that people don't cheat on their wives, or the wives don't cheat on their husbands, and so that they would marry a Christian woman. And you see a lot of men coming into my church anyway to seek out a wife because they don't trust the ones out on the street. Another thing, too, I've been in different jails from time to time for distributing gospel literature. You know, that's become one of the biggest crimes today, that you're a Christian. The news media likes to make you look like a cult if you distribute gospel literature, if you preach the gospel. It's not that they're criminals, they say, after they're bombing and murdering hundreds of millions of people, the government. This is Satan's machine, is Rome's cult, the Vatican, its beastly government, and the news media. This, the Lord told me, was Satan's machine, and it says so in the Bible as well. And this machine is just doing everything it can to destroy the gospel, to make everything in this world desolate. The satanic beings out there have come up with atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs and terrorism and violence all over the place, to where you can't feel safe even walking or driving down the street because there's these drive-by shootings all over the place. People just walking into malls and shooting people. You can't even feel safe going to a mall anymore. This kind of stuff never happened while I was a young man. And so I see the drastic change in the way things have taken place in these last days. So we have to become used to being degraded because we're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sowing the seed, which the Bible says is the word, and that's in the fourth chapter of Mark. And what the good seed is you sow the seed into the earth. Well, we're all made out of the dirt of the ground, so we're made out of earth. And so what the Lord does, he said his word is spirit and it's life. And so when we preach the gospel to you, this word is being sown into the earth, into you. And inside that earth that is you, that's not the real you. That's just the outward shell that you're living in. The real you is the spirit that's in you, the temporal spirit. And if you're born again of the spirit, then the spirit of God is mixed into that temporal spirit. God's spirit is eternal. It's not temporal. Temporal means it's just going to last for a while. You don't know if your temporal spirit, if you're going to go out to meet God in a minute or 1 second from now, or tonight when you're sleeping helpless in your bed, this spirit of the Lord just yank you right out of your body and then cast your soul into the pit of hell if you're not saved, and then into the lake of fire finally on the last day. But at any rate, by the end of the first century, the body of Christ, which is the Church of God, the born-again Christians, had become degraded because they have to tear the scriptures apart to make you disbelieve them in order for you not to trust in the Word of God. That's Satan's job, and it's our job of the born-again Christian pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, to make you believe or to preach the word into you enough to where you believe the word of God, because by faith, in other words, by believing the word of God, you're saved, and by doubting the word of God, you're damned. So you know that the news media, the world government, and the cult in Rome, powered by that great red dragon, the devil, is doing everything in its power to discourage you from believing in the word of God. So they're trying to make Jesus into a sex pervert like you are, and the people out in the world are. These people that are taking motion pictures of people's buttocks is walking down the street and everything, as though where they go to the bathroom from, and so that's some kind of a charming thing for you to focus your eyes on rather than Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So because that we're tearing down this sort of doctrine, we become degraded by the powers of the world, powers and principalities of darkness sitting in high places. You know, these guys at NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and all these other networks. So ever since the first century, right up to this very day, we, who are the born-again Christians, have been living in the dark ages. The Lord stated as the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand, the darker it gets. We're actually living in the darkest time that the Bible ever talks of and that history ever tells of. Actually, it was happening, this darkness, this degrading was happening in the first century church, the body of Christ. It had become that church, Jesus and all the disciples were degraded. The apostles, they were degraded. The apostle Paul, the apostle Peter, and the apostle John all dealt with this degradation in their writings. We can see all that, particularly in 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, and the three epistles of John. At the end of the first century, the degradation of the church began and has continued right up to this very moment today. At this time, there's so much degradation going on against my ministry. And why? Because we're the ones that are uncovering Satan the most.
Amen.
Why are we being degraded so much? It's because of the fact that Satan has to degrade us. Otherwise, his kingdom will be destroyed by the word that I preach.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that Satan cast out Satan? No, he's not going to cast out his own people. He's not going to talk against the world powers. But for sure, the Lord in me, and if the Lord is in you and you have the intestinal fortitude or the righteous indignation that the Lord gives people that really know the Lord, if he's living in you, you can tear Satan's kingdom to pieces. But the unsaved people and the fearful and unbelieving Christians say, who is able to make war against this beast, this Satan's machine? This is Satan's machine, man. You know, Satan's machine, Vatican. It says that the Vatican and its world government and the media are all powered by that great red dragon, the devil. It says so in the Bible. And so we see, any government that would leave it up to you whether you could kill your children, your unborn children, or you could starve people to death, baby, you're looking at the devil. Amen?
Amen.
You're living in devil's territory here. The Bible says that we Christians are like sheep living among vicious wolves, the devil. Okay? And so if you're not born again of the Spirit, then you side in with these vicious wolves, and therefore you become guilty. Guilty by association. You're guilty of being involved with the Antichrist. And being involved or being a part of the Antichrist is the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This sin is not forgivable in this world nor in the world to come. I read that to you in the third chapter of the book of Mark. That, you know, you can be guilty, you're forgiven for all kinds of sins once and for all. I mean, they get drowned your former sins drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and he doesn't remember them against you anymore. So long as you deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow, walk in the Spirit of the Lord every day so that you're the power of God is in you on a continuous basis. Otherwise, there's no way that you could possibly make it. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have the intensified seven spirits, the compounded Spirit of the Lord. If you don't have that living in you, you're not going to make it into eternity, because there's something in this world that's going to tempt you so much that you're going to be drawn back into the world after you've been saved. And, you know, the powers of Satan is strong. But the Lord says that there's no one that can rob a strong man's house unless someone stronger than him goes in to that strong man's house. You know, there's always somebody thinks they're a tough guy, you know. But around the corner, there's always somebody tougher. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Mike Tyson, you know. Oh, man, he was the toughest guy in the world, and there's people just knocking him out left and right now, you know. And then you got Muhammad Ali. He's walking around, you know, all battered up, and he can't even think straight, and he looks like a vegetable. You know, he's out to lunch, for sure. Because how many times can you take a heavyweight smashing into your head and then all of a sudden not become, you know, void of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, especially when you turn from Christianity unto the Catholic Muslim religion. Now, that's what it is. The Catholics rose the Muslim religion up to do the dirty work for the Vatican so the Vatican wouldn't be blamed for it. But I'm just a guy to pull the sheets and blankets off of Satan so that you can see the festering, putrefying sores all over his body. The body of Christ is clean, it's pure, it's perfect. And anybody that fears the Satan's machine more than they do the Lord, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because what you're saying is God's power is nothing compared to Satan's machine. Satan's machine. Satan's machine. You worship Satan's machine? The Vatican, the world government, the media? Well, you're on your way to hell, sir or ma'am. Okay, so all this degradation has happened right up, has continued right up to today. Today, and will continue on until the Lord comes back, it's going to get worse and worse. But thank God every time we go through some of these crucifying experiences, these cross-bearing experiences, we get more powerful because you pray hard to the Lord. I mean, something hit yesterday that I didn't know what was going to happen. It hit me last night, and so I immediately fell down on my face and began praying to God. Strong prayers to the Lord. Strong, I had to get a hold of him, very strong. Lord, what do I do? What am I doing? What they're doing, these devils, is they're fabricating websites that looks similar to mine. As a matter of fact, they even stole one of the websites that belongs to a church that I pastor. It's not my website because I don't have any church in my name. They call the churches by my name, but they're not my churches. I just pastor churches for other people in many churches all over the world. And so what they do is fabricate the websites that they have my messages on and make them look as though they're part of, so that when you click onto my website or the website where my messages are, it also clicks onto these adverse websites, and so they are saying things that are so horrible that it's unbelievable. But then I thank the Lord and praise him, because they're saying even more, they're saying this bad or more evil things about the Lord than they are me. Up to this day, this has been going on for over 2,000 years, that they're attempting to degrade the Lord. But of course, all these people have got a price to pay, and they're going to pay it. So throughout the past 20 centuries, the Lord has been carrying out his business, or his work. His business is winning souls unto, and then the Satan's business is to do everything in his power to lie and degrade the witnesses, the people, the preachers, teachers, evangelists of the gospel, and the pastors, to make it to where you don't believe us any longer. So you believe, oh, he's married to 100 women. That ain't so. Or that they're pedophiles. That is not so. Or that they are child abusers. That is not so. Born-again Christians love children, and they take a very tender care of them. All these things. And these are inflammatory things that the news media builds up that it's the most sinful thing in the world. Not blowing them up or burning them up like they did at Waco and like they're blowing up all these different countries. This is done by Satan's government, his church, his cult in Rome. And it's Satan's work and the media. They don't tell you about these things. They talk about these little pandas that are being born, and there's here's a big whale. Look at that. You know, they got your mind thinking about just garbage. This man wrote in the other day and stated that the things that they are showing on TV are ridiculous. It's not world news, and the only way they can get world news is tune in to the shortwave radio. That's the only way they can get some legitimate news. And that's how he found out about me on shortwave. I'm on AM and FM radio as well, but I'm on shortwave over in Africa and India and all over the world, because that's the stations, the radio that they listen to in India and in Africa. So the Lord has been carrying out this business of his work, and at the same time, Satan has been carrying out his chaotic works. I've brought many messages on this subject down through the past 42 years. So it's a divine work that we're doing over here for the new creation. What is the new creation? All the new believers that believe in Christ, because the intensified Spirit of God moves into them and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Their sins, former sins, are all washed away and drowned in God's sea of forgetfulness, and the Lord doesn't remember it anymore. So the divine creation, or the new creation, and the Satan chaos, the Satan's chaos, and this divine work that we're doing, they go together. You wonder how they go together. Well, you know, a lot of Christians wouldn't pray at all unless they were getting attacked by Satan. And sometimes when, the people in my church are not praying that much, and they're kind of kicking back and relaxing when everything's going real well, and they forget to go out and witness and testify on the streets, or to be as zealous as they are, should be or must be, in order to get into heaven, then the Lord will create an environment, and there's all kinds of chaos that starts hitting the church, and we know where it's coming from. And then my advice to them immediately is to get down and pray. And to pray strong prayers before the Lord to stop and destroy all these different people. And a lot of them are like the Lord, the people that are doing that, the Lord is warning them too. He gives them heart attacks. One of them just dropped dead the other day 3 times, and they brought him back to life 3 times, and he's now in intensive care, and they say he's not doing good at all in the hospital. And it's the Lord just wanting him to say, look, forgive me, brothers. I lied about you, and my family lied about you. And the family says, it wasn't my dad. He's a pastor of a United Pentecostal church. But if my son started doing something like this to a church of God, I would put them out of the church. So he doesn't manage his household well, and this is one of the commandments of the Lord. You have to train up your child in the way they should go, and in the end, they will go that way. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the Satan and the Lord, he has control over all flesh. And the Lord is allowing Satan to hit some Christians because they're not 100% zealous to do his work. They get into all kinds of different things in this world. Music is a big thing in this world that will pull people out of the ministry. And if they do that, God is going to hit the church. So it's all right to play music, but not to put your whole heart and soul into it. More than you're putting your heart, soul, mind, and strength into the Lord. Amen? The Lord wants all that. And you can have music on the side. You can play a game of baseball, but don't let it make a career out of it or anything like that. Okay? Now, eventually, the satanic chaos will be done away with in the lake of fire, and the divine work of God will be consummated, in the New Jerusalem. In the universe, there are both day and night. When we see the church in the day, it is a fantastic state, a wonderful state. But you must be ready to take the night. Night, here comes the night. Another night. Without the sense of God being there, my dear. But when you are in the night, you're not to be disappointed, because the Lord told you that these things would happen before they happened, because of the degradation in the dark ages that we're living in right now, and in the days of temptation. God, but we turn away from temptation. We're supposed to flee from the very appearance of it. God has intensified his spirit many times. When the Lord was on the earth for 33 and a half years, he did everything by the Holy Spirit. And that's the way we're supposed to be. You're not to do anything unless it's by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was still just one spirit. It had not been, at that time, intensified yet. With the early apostles at the time of Pentecost, that's when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came down upon the church, the Spirit was also just one. But in the age of Revelation, the Spirit of the Lord has become intensified. Why? Because we're living in darker ages than ever. It's been intensified seven times. Such an intensified spirit is for us to be vitalized and revitalized on a daily basis. Yes, on a daily basis. Besides being revitalized to us who are the overcomers in the dark age that we're living in, of degradation of the whole church. Now, the Bible says there's a bunch of these Christians that are crying out, you know, when are you going to avenge us, Lord? And he says there's others, and it says these people were saved out of the great tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
So that shows you right there that we're going to be saved, not raptured out, but we're going to be saved during the great tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
At the end of the first century, it was not easy to overcome. Today, with us, it is the same. It's not easy. The Lord never promised a bed of flowers. In this darkest of ages, we need the sevenfold intensified spirit of the living God. A lot of people ask me, well, do you have to have the Holy Spirit to get into the kingdom of heaven? You have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to make it through these dark ages, because you will go to hell if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you go through the great tribulations, you won't make it. So you better take it serious, because the Lord said so. And these messages that I'm bringing you are the sevenfold intensified messages of the sevenfold intensified Spirit of the Living God. Many Christians appreciate what is regarded in the four Gospels in the book of Acts at Peter's time, but they must appreciate even more than that what we have today. Today, what we experience is the sevenfold intensified Spirit in order to be the overcomers in this dark age. Because if you don't overcome, then you're destroyed. You become part of the Antichrist church cult. We need this type of spirit. The book of Revelation is a book overcoming the overcomers. The Spirit overcomes them so that they do not sin any longer and that they're able to give their entire life unto the ministry. So the book of Revelation is concerning the overcomers, and the overcomers are the martyrs. We're being martyred right now. Every time they're degrading us, that's martyrism. Amen? Amen? Every time they throw us in jail or prison for the gospel, we're martyrs. So the overcomers are the martyrs in these last days. So you know that I'm an overcomer because you can throw any amount of slang at me that you want and I'll overcome because I've got the intensified sevenfold Spirit of the Living God living in me and through me. Amen? Amen. And I'm passing this on, the information, this on unto you, because this is a big void in the Christians today. They don't know these things. Why? Because they don't study the Word enough. They are into the world. They like to be hip. They like to say, yeah, man, yeah, I know everything. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, man, and all this stuff. In Revelations, the 12th chapter, the man-child is a composition or a corporate body of all the overcoming martyrs, beginning from Abel. Abel was a martyr. Abel believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, or he would not have given an animal sacrifice, which is a type or a figure or a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ that was supposed to come, that was supposed to come into the world. He believed that Jesus was coming. And now, that's before the cross. Now, after the cross, we're looking back at the cross saying, yes, the Lord did come. They've had to believe that he was a coming, and we have to believe that he came, and he fulfilled all the prophecies. So Abel believed that the Lord was coming. So he was one of the martyrs. From Abel was a martyr. He believed in Jesus that he was a coming to the world. All the overcomers standing on the sea of glass in Revelation 15 were martyred by Antichrist during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulations. So the overcomers recorded in the book of Revelation are martyrs to God. They lived as martyrs by the sevenfold Holy Spirit, the intensified sevenfold Holy Spirit of God living in them. They were able to do it because of that. Amen?
Amen.
There are many testimonies of people, like in Germany. They would take Christians and attempt to get them to deny their faith. And when they wouldn't, they would kill them. Many people, because they were Catholics, these Germans were Catholics or Lutherans. Both of those are very closely associated. Martin Luther was a Catholic, and he broke away from that Catholic cult because he saw that it was a sewer of corruption. Martin Luther was actually anti-Semitic. He was anti-Jewish. I try to figure out how he could be a Christian and be anti-Semitic. Because if you're a Christian, you believe in the world's greatest Jew. Amen? Amen? So he couldn't have been a Christian. One of the biggest persecutions that I had when I was in prison for the gospel's sake was from one of these Lutheran ministers there. many people were saved by watching the boldness of this type of Christians that would say, I'm not denying Christ, and they'd kill him. Because these people really believed that if the minute that their spirit left their bodies, that they'd be in heaven. They really believed it. Now, many of them went when they were going out, they were singing and praising while being led to the to be executed. And a lot of the people, these Christians, even people who were the executioners, were amazed that people that were so very young would not be afraid in such a terrifying situation. If you ever really were interested in knowing how someone could do that, you would be resolved to find out why, how they could be so courageous at a time like this. Well, the reason is because of this, that many people were saved. Many people that were executioners were saved because of their boldness. Amen?
Amen.
And because they saw they weren't afraid to meet God. So how could such young people be that strong in the Lord? Young people and old alike can be strong only by the sevenfold intensified spirit of the living God, the compounded sevenfold intensified spirit of the living God mentioned in the book of Revelation in order to be today's overcoming martyrs in this very most dark age of time. We need an experience this. We need to experience this intensified, compounded, sevenfold Spirit of God. Compounded means that that Holy Spirit has everything in it that God has. Every bit of power, every ounce of power that God has is in that compounded. Like I mentioned yesterday, a compound is not made out of just one ingredient. A compound, when you go to a pharmacy, has many different ingredients in it, or it wouldn't be a compound. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, they call our church a compound, but we don't have a compound. You know, many crazy evil things could happen on a compound. You know, that's what the media has told you, that, you know, churches are compounds. But, you know, these Buddhas, all these different religions, they're the ones with the compounds. We have church facilities, okay? That's what we have. But, you know, the news media is able to put that buzzword into your brain to make it stick in your brain like the hair in a drain, okay? And you believe them, you know? And it's not destroying us, it's destroying your own soul, because what it does is put a doubt in your mind. And those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. Don't you care about that? Mm-hmm. If I were you, I would be. Okay, so the way that these overcoming martyrs were able to make it through these dark ages, they had to experience the intensified, compounded, sevenfold Spirit of God. Compounded means that everything that God is compounded into one sevenfold spirit. And it gives you fills up every crevice in your entire soul, into your spirit, of everything that God has to keep you strong through the hour of temptation and through these very evil, dark days. In Revelation, the first chapter, the sevenfold spirit is regarded as the second in the divine order of the Trinity instead of the third. Before it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now it's the Father and the life-giving Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It says so. So, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's now the Father, then the Holy Spirit. It's indicating that the intensified compound of the Spirit, verses 4 and 5 in the first chapter of Revelation, as the seven lamps. This is like, in other words, a symbolic of the seven intensified compact of Holy Spirit. So it shows them as seven lamps burning before the throne of God. Chapter 4, verse 5 states that the seven spirits are the seven lamps burning before the throne of God to carry out the divine administration for the consummation of the divine work of God. So the consummation is there on the day of the when we become married to the Lord. We're actually His people in His corporate body are members of His bride chamber, and He's the groom, but we still haven't been married yet. We're married at the wedding supper of the Lamb in the kingdom of heaven, and that's when we become the new Jerusalem, but we're still members of it so long as we keep His word, so long as we keep the intensified Holy Spirit burning brightly in us every day of our life, every minute of every day. The minute you take your guard down, just like David did in the Old Testament, where he didn't have the intensified Holy Spirit living in him, the minute he let his guard down, he looked at a woman taking a shower next door, and it was another man's wife, and he called her up, "Come on up." It just took hold onto him, as they say down south, took hold onto him. Looking at something like that, this beauty, instead of turning away quickly and fleeing from the very appearance of evil, he didn't have that compounded spirit living in him. The spirit would come down upon him from time to time and show him the different scriptures to write. He was the apple of God's eye, but the apple of God's eye, be careful if you think you are, because, even after all the things the Apostle Paul did, he says he takes his eyes off the Lord. And he stops preaching the gospel and starts doing the things that the Lord has called us to do. He says that he too would become a castaway, that he'd be flung into the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's true. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. And so if the psalmist David and all the other prophets and apostles feared that if they left the word of God that the same thing would happen to them, well, then you better fear, because you don't come close to them. I do. But you don't. Because I've looked all over the different churches. Hopefully you do, okay? I'm just trying to make you jealous, okay? I know I'm not the only one, okay? So the Holy Spirit swallows up humanity into eternity for those who want to be swallowed up or consumed of the divine work of God. If you're saying, well, I'm consumed with music. Man, I just got to play music all the time. We met a guitar teacher who says, I asked him, how many hours do you play? I never let the guitar go out of my hand. Well, it would be just as easy, because he has the will to do that, to never let the Lord out of your hand. Amen?
Amen.
To just stay before the Lord 24/7. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because you can choose to, you talk to the basketball, I never let the basketball out of my hands, right? Or I never let the football out of my hands, or the basketball, you know, or the baseball. Well, you know, whatever you practice the most is what you're going to be the best at, amen?
Amen.
And so the thing to be the best at is the one that's going to get you into eternity and anything else that you could be interested in this world. That is worth being interested in, because it won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. God's administration today is not weak like the rest of the world is. Well, they say, we're not weak. We've got guns, bullets, and bombs. Yeah, but you don't have God. We had one woman, everybody says she's crazy, and she keeps attacking this church and slandering, making up lies, and knowing that she's believing people that she doesn't know, and they're a bunch of liars. And she says, she called our attorney up and said, not that we're using that attorney that much, but she says, we have attorneys too. And I told my attorney, well, you should have told her, but they have God, and you don't. Okay, and it was just a few days later that God dropped one of them dead three times, and he's still in the hospital. They brought him back. He's just hanging on to life. The administration of God today on this earth to accomplish God's work is strong in a sevenfold compounded way. The sevenfold compounded spirits is the seven lamps of fire before the throne of God to direct the world situation, order to execute God's work in the universe. The book of Revelation talks about the seven eyes of the Lamb. The seven spirits are also the seven eyes of the Lamb. This is the observing part of our Lord and our Savior or Redeemer for him to be able to observe all the churches in all the nations of the and for this reason of building up his body to consummate the building up of the New Jerusalem. Now, when we get married, they say when you consume your wife, that's when you have sexual relationships with her, because this is when you become one flesh. And when you are consumed by the Lord, that means that you say, Lord, I'm a member of your corporate bride, and I'm consumed by you. I want to be like the man with the guitar. Instead of the guitar, I want my word to be in my hands all the time. I want to just exalt you instead of this guitar or this piano or this whatever. It's all right to learn it, but, you know, not to be consumed with it. Because I want to be consumed by the building up of the New Jerusalem. That's the winning of souls. So accomplishing the eternal work of God is Revelation 5, verse 6. Chapter 21, verse 1 and 3. So eventually the life-giving spirit, which is the compounded spirit, has become sevenfold spirit as the seven eyes of the Lamb. And the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. That was already planned out in the days of Adam and Eve, that God promised Adam and Eve that he was going to come to the world as a man to shed his blood for the forgiveness of all people's sins, to drown them in the sea of God's forgetfulness and never remember them again. People have to seek for the baptism, the seven spirits or the seven eyes of the Lamb to be compounded living in you. And then you'll find it so much easier to keep your eyes off the world and the things of this world. This exposes the wrong teaching that Christ and the Holy Spirit, who Christ is the Holy Spirit, that they are separate. The seven spirits are the eyes of Christ. How could your eyes be separate from your body? They are a part of your body. A person's eyes are for seeing, for observing and transferring the things that you see into your brain. When you look at someone, you observe him or her, and you're looking at him or her transfuses something of you into that person that you're looking at. The sevenfold spirit today is the eyes of the Lord. Our Savior. He observes us and transfers all his riches into us by his seven eyes or seven spirits, which are the same. And I see my time is up, and so we're going to have to call everybody to order now. I want every one of you to get in order. And that means let's start lining up here and getting ourselves saved. And you can do that. You can start your seven spirits, the intensified, compounded Spirit of God living in you. That's Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is going to come into you right now by saying this prayer. And I say it to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and your word is spirit, and it is life, and it's the truth. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, and get yourself baptized in water and filled with the Holy Spirit, the intensified, compounded Holy Spirit of the living God, and take up the cross and follow the Lord on a daily basis. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a tape copy, audio tape, or a CD of this program, number 340. It's absolutely free, postage and handling as well.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerhouse full of the Spirit of the Living God, the overcoming Spirit of God for you overcomers. And here's H.B. Barnum and his Life Choir singing the Life Prayer Song. Thank you.